Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Thanksgiving Day, as you know, has been a holiday in the United States since 1863. And 1863, you may remember, not that any of you are actually there, but from your history classes, you may remember 1863 was not exactly the best of times in the United States. We were in the midst of the Civil War. But that is the year that President Lincoln declared Thanksgiving Day a national holiday. And I think it's worth hearing what President Lincoln wrote in 1863. He said, "I invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union." It's interesting to me that the president's impulse in the midst of civil war was to give thanks to God for all that God has done. And this is counterintuitive, but very consistent with the biblical record. If you read through Scripture, over 50 times are God's people exhorted to give thanks to the Lord. Most of them, of course, in the Psalms. But the Psalms were read very predictably and on a cycle, just like we read Scripture in our lectionary. And so there's not a footnote in the Psalms exhorting the people to give thanks to the Lord that says, if things are going bad, you don't have to do this one, right? So there's something about gratitude, there's something about giving thanks that puts us in a different place, emotionally and spiritually. And this practice of giving thanks is actually something that has been scientifically proved to be beneficial. If you look at the data, people who have a disposition of gratitude, regardless of circumstances, tend to have better relationships. They tend to be emotionally healthier. They tend to be able to have a greater capacity for empathy and for compassion and all sorts of other benefits, like sleeping better, among other things. And so this practice of giving thanks, this practice of being grateful, very specifically, is something that is true throughout Scripture, and we actually see in practice that it leads us to be better people. So this practice of gratitude, this practice of thanksgiving, is something that we ought to engage in, regardless of the circumstances. So when we think about giving thanks, it inevitably causes us to say, well, who are we thanking? To whom are we giving thanks? And in this case, obviously, we're giving thanks to God. We're giving thanks to God on multiple levels. The first level is for our physical and material provision. All of us have the physical provision that we need. We can give thanks on another level, that we have family, that we have friends, that we have people around us that love us. We can give thanks that we live at a time of relative peace in our world and in our country, even though some of Lincoln's proclamation from 1863 resonates deeply with us even today. And so we can give thanks for those things. But as Christian people, ultimately, what we're giving thanks for is something very specific, and that is, of course, Jesus Christ. And the Greek word for thanksgiving is the Greek word Eucharist. And so when we gather together for Christian worship Sunday after Sunday for Eucharist, we're gathering together for thanksgiving. And it's important and instructive that the way that we give thanks and the way that we're mindful of God's goodness to us and God's provision for us is in the context of a meal. And this is, again, another overlap of our American tradition of Thanksgiving and the biblical practice of Eucharist centers on a meal. And in our American mythology, the first Thanksgiving, of course, was a gathering of pilgrims and Native Americans, and they were able to overcome their differences and share their wisdom and celebrate the goodness of God in the harvest, that they had a bountiful harvest, and so they were sharing the bounty together. And it's a great story, and it's a great thing to begin to live toward and live into. It was interesting. I grew up, most of you know, very near a Native American reservation. And so the American myth of Thanksgiving that I heard growing up was much different than my friends who lived in White River told growing up. And so hearing one another's stories is another way that we can share wisdom and share common bounty as well. So that would be worth doing, just as an aside. But nevertheless, the fact that our American practice of Thanksgiving centers around a meal connects us deeply with the Eucharistic practice of the church. Because there is something about sharing a meal together that communicates all sorts of things. It communicates welcome, it communicates acceptance, it communicates giving, sharing, and generosity. And that's exactly what we experience in the Eucharist, that we, broken, wounded, sinful people, are being extended welcome by the God who made us. We're being extended forgiveness by the God who made us. We're being extended the blessings of eternal life by the God who made us. And we're not only invited ourselves, but we're invited as part of a community who ultimately finds our identity, finds our true home around the Lord's table, the Lord's Eucharistic table. And so it could be that as we remember Thanksgiving later today with our friends and with our families or with whomever you may be sharing the meal, what would it look like to take that meal and infuse it with this sacramental reality, these practices of hospitality, practices of generosity, practices of sharing and abundance, giving and receiving grace? It's become a cultural joke now that it's difficult to go to Thanksgiving meals because you might have a relative or a friend with whom you disagree about something. I mean, maybe there'll be an ASU fan at my... Actually, I can guarantee there won't be. But what if an ASU fan showed up at my Thanksgiving dinner? How would I handle that? Well, we have the answer, don't we? And college sports rivalries are a trite example. But there are fundamental things about which we differ and disagree in our country today. Where is the answer? How do we find a way through that? And I believe that we find the way through that and the answer to those questions at the table of the Lord, where we, broken, wounded, sinful people, are given grace, are given forgiveness, are given welcome. And we find our true identity not as fans of a particular team, not as a particular political party, not as a particular ethnicity, but we find our identity as those who are beloved by God, who bear the image of his creation, and who bear the marks of Jesus' redeeming love. That's who we are. Many of you have seen the film Babette's Feast, and I don't want to tell the story. If you've seen it, you already know it. If you haven't seen it, please go watch it. But the culmination of this film is a meal. And what we find in this meal, there's this mystical quality to the meal that once they begin to eat and once they begin to drink, because of Babette's incredible hospitality and generosity and sacrifice in preparing this meal, things begin to happen. People who were at odds begin to forgive one another. People who hadn't spoken to one another in years begin to speak up. People who really had a hard time experiencing any sort of pleasure began to experience pleasure because of the depth and the richness of the meal that was provided. And so again, what would it look like for us to take these meals that we're going to share today and infuse them with that sacramental reality of God's abundance, of God's generosity, ultimately of God's love toward us? And so as we gather around the Lord's table this morning, it's a fitting preparation to gather around our dining room tables later. and may there be much overlap between the two as a result. Amen.